Okay. You never know what's going to happen at church, do you? We're actually going to have all the worship later, so that's going to be great. Okay. Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence is here. I just pray that every single word that comes out of my mouth is straight from you. Please speak to people's hearts. We thank you for this day. We thank you for Roma being with us today. We thank you for all these kids that were up the front. We just pray they have an incredible time out in Kids Church. And right now we just open up our hearts to speak to us, God. We want to be changed. We want to be more like you, Jesus. Amen. All right. So when I was 16, I went to get my owls. And I went in there to Vic Roads and I'd studied, I'd read the book and I did the test and I aced it. And then I got my photo taken. And I had long blonde hair and it was actually a really good photo. I wish I could have kept that one for the rest of my life because all the rest since then have been terrible. But I had my owls. I had the authority to go out and drive on the road, even though I'd never driven a car before. Which is kind of scary, isn't it? I had the authority to drive and I'd never driven. So I was thinking, I'll tell you a quick story. It's the one time in my life I ever remember my dad yelling at me. And since Ron talked about cars, we're in this little, my old nan, we'd call her old nan because there was Gemma and then she was above. So all these generations. She gave us her little hatchback. Was it a Mitsubishi Colt? This little old Colt, and that's what we learnt to driving because it had the gears. So we're going along the highway, and it was where you first come into Moot. It was 90 then, not 80. And so we're coming in, and here I'm driving, Mum's next to me, and Dad's behind me in this tiny little old car. And I didn't realise there was a truck that just stopped. And I'm just driving along, and I really can't remember what Mum did. All I remember is just everything just went into slow motion and I just froze and I didn't know what was going on. And then all of a sudden at the back of my head, I hear this brake and it's like shaking the whole seat, brake. And like seriously, I was just like, and then there's this other story where my shoelace is caught in the door and sometimes people mush the two stories together and I'm like, I can't, my shoelace is stuck. But that's a different story. Anyway, I eventually braked and we stopped before we hit the truck. But oh, I would never forget. It was like Dad was crying out for his life. Brake! And I really can't remember any other time in my whole life where he yelled at me except for that one time. So authority. I had the authority to drive, but I didn't have much ability at all. I just had to learn. So I want you to remember those two words, authority and ability. You know, Jesus, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go and make disciples of all nations. Who's heard this? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded. And he said, surely I'll be with you always. I'm always with you. So he's given us this commission. And I think sometimes in church we've heard sermons about the Great Commission and everyone gets a little bit uneasy. Is this true? A little bit like, ooh, maybe sometimes we feel a little bit condemned or a little bit guilty or are we doing enough? Like, are we seeing people come to know Jesus all the time? Are we, in Mark 16, 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Mark actually adds a little bit more. He says, and signs and wonders will accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And they'll drink deadly poison and it won't hurt them at all. They'll lay their hands on sick people and they will get well. This is what we're called to. How crazy is that? But it seems a little bit hard, don't you think? It's like Jesus, he's given us the ability, but then he's given us the authority, sorry, but do we have the ability? And I think if we ever feel condemned or guilty, that's not the Lord. That's not what he does. The gospel is good news of great joy. He sometimes might bring conviction to our hearts and burden for the lost. You know, the closer we get to Jesus, the closer we get to the Father and spend time with him. Every time we're alone with him, he starts to change us from the inside. It's like the greatest command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And when you're doing that, that's what takes you into the Great Commission. We just got to go back to the Great Commandment. Love. Be driven by love. In Luke's gospel, when he talks about it, he said, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead. And on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. So I want to tell you today, there's a better way than us being like, we've just got to go out, we've just got to preach the gospel, we've just got to, and it's all us doing. It says we will be witnesses, which I will read that later, but there's a big difference between being and doing. Such a big difference. So this power from on high that Jesus is talking about is the Holy Spirit. This power from on high. And it's the same power that he had, which, if you think about that, that just blows your mind. Jesus chose to come to this earth as a human, so he was like us. So when, have you ever thought, why is there like 30 years of his life where there's hardly any mention of anything he did? Or like we hear that when he was born, and then he was found in his father's house when he was about 12. But then it's like, where's the rest of it? Where is it? But when he was like 30, he went to John the Baptist and got baptized in water. And it said when he came up out of the water, the heavens split open and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested on him and remained on him. Jesus had the Holy Spirit to go and minister, to do the miracles, to preach the gospel. Doesn't that blow your mind? He didn't do all these things in his own power, even though he was the Son of God. If he hadn't have come as a human, he would have had all the power, but he chose to become like us, empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is so cool. So if you've got your Bibles, I want to go to Acts, and just going to do something a little bit different. We're just going to flick through Acts when the Holy Spirit came in power from on high. So if we start at chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power. And you will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on the earth. You will be my witnesses. You will be filled with this power from on high. Filled. So then straight after this is when Jesus gets lifted up, goes off into the clouds, goes back to heaven. We actually did a reenactment. I was thinking of this Angela over here years ago directed this drama, and I think I was an angel and maybe Cam Reed was Jesus, and we're on the Reed's roof on the farm, and it was awesome. And I'll never forget, it was like Angela Hart, would like to thank Angela Hart on the end of the credits. It was really silly. We were just being very silly. Anyway, so Jesus went back up to heaven, but he said, wait for the power. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my messengers, but you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. I've given you the authority, but do you have the ability? And that word power, I didn't even know this. The word power actually means ability. If you even look it up in the dictionary or biblical dictionary, it means ability. So all authority has been given to you, but wait for the ability. Wait for the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. He's our teacher. He leads us into all truth and holiness. He's the fire inside of us. He's the power. And we can't do that much on this earth without him. In terms of seeing God's kingdom come, his will be done, seeing miracles, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So after Jesus went, I just love just reading through Acts and just the church and what they did. And they didn't just go off back fishing, oh, we'll just wait till the Holy Spirit comes. They just got together and they were together and they had community and they prayed. And I love this part. It says in, where is it? Chapter 14, all of them were united in prayer, gripped with one passion, interceding night and day. They didn't just do nothing while they waited. They just waited on God. They were together. They were praying. They were worshiping. They were appointing leaders. They were getting the church ready for what was about to happen, which was the day of Pentecost. Whew. And the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled. All the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they'd never heard. Oh, how many times have we read that and we're just like, oh, and the Holy Spirit came and tongues of fire, and you just read it? But when you actually think about being there and what it would have been like and the sound and the gush and the everything shaking and the Holy Spirit coming in power, whoa. And then it goes on to say that the crowds just started gathering. They would have heard the sound. They were like, what is going on? And then they start speaking in all these other languages and people are there like, I know what he's talking about. But they're like, but these guys, aren't they Galileans? Why are they speaking in my native language? This is so crazy. And then other people are like, oh, they're just drunk. They're just drunk on the new wine. What a scene when the Holy Spirit came. So it shows us that the evidence of having him come is speaking in tongues, this other heavenly language, but it's being a witness. Equipped to be a witness is evidence. So to be is just who we are. It comes from inside. To go and do some witnessing. Who's ever done that? Just walked up to a complete stranger and tried to tell him about Jesus and it was really awkward? I've done that. And it's like, why did I do that? That was really weird. But when it's who we are, when it comes out of our heart and it comes out of our life and we've spent time with the Father and we've been transformed by Jesus coming in and taking over, and then the Holy Spirit comes in power and we just can't help it, and it just comes up in conversation and it's just what we live. It's a different thing. It's so different. And so I just want to quickly go through Peter, through Acts, but Peter as an example. Peter became a witness. Now this guy, if you keep reading on, he stood up because there's crowds of people everywhere. He stood up and he just started preaching the sermon of his life. If you read, it goes on and on and on and on. It's a very long sermon. But Peter, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit and he just got up and he just started preaching the good news of Jesus, preaching the gospel, telling him the Holy Spirit had come and what had happened. And at the end of that, 3,000 people got saved, added to the church, all of them baptized. Can you imagine baptizing 3,000 people in one day? This is what happens when the Holy Spirit empowers and has his way. He wants people to come to know him. And this guy, Peter, he was a fisherman. He hadn't been to Bible college and done all the study, and he'd walked with Jesus for a few years, but he was just a fisherman. He was an ordinary guy that just said whatever popped into his head at the time. That was Peter. We're all like, Peter. Even at one time, Jesus said, "Satan, get behind me," to his friend Peter, because he said something that was just so not kingdom. So the transforming power of the Holy Spirit took Peter, this ordinary guy, and he became a weapon for the kingdom, full of boldness, full of power. And if you keep reading on, chapter 3, Peter and John, they're walking to the temple to pray. There's a beggar asking for money. And I can just imagine how different they would have been. Just the excitement and the things that God was doing. And they just see this beggar and they're like, well, of course he's going to get healed. I don't have money, but hey, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And up he gets and he's leaping and shouting and praising God and go to the temple and everyone's gathering around and everyone's like, Peter and John, like, they were not like that. So then Peter gets up and he starts preaching again, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it says like another 2,000 people get saved. Have you guys read this? Man. Now after this, try not to get lost here. In chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. So Peter and John had gone back, got everyone together, and they were praying again. All the believers were together, the church was together, and they pray. So now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us, because Peter and John had actually been arrested, and then all this stuff happened. Holy Spirit empowered them, and they spoke with boldness, and anyway, they couldn't come up with something to keep them, so they let them go. They'd come to tell all the believers. So they're praying, God, empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your holy son, Jesus. And at that moment, the earth shook beneath them, causing the building they were in to tremble. Every one of them was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they proclaimed the word of God with unrestrained boldness. Now, I think, didn't they already get filled with the Holy Spirit? That was a Pentecost. Holy Spirit came and they spoke in tongues and the building trembled. And then here we find a few chapters later, they're praying and the Holy Spirit comes again and fills them again. So we can get filled again and again and again. And get more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. And when we live it out, and then he fills us up, and then we live it out, and we pray for someone, and then he fills us up, and then we speak the good news to someone else and preach the gospel, and then he fills us up. That's what it's supposed to be like. It actually says in Matthew and Luke, and I'm sure a lot of you would have heard this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. That chapter, it's actually talking about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we think, oh, ask and it will be given to you. Oh, I'll just ask for a new car. I'll just ask for a new house. God loves me. And we think of all these things and it will be given. But it's talking about the Holy Spirit there. And in Luke 11, verse 13, it says, if imperfect parents know how to lovingly take care of their children and give them what they need, how much more will the perfect Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit's fullness when His children ask Him? Ask. Now, there's been such a hunger stirring in this place lately. There's been messages on hungering and spiritual thirst and just getting out of our comfort zones, and something's stirring and something's happening in this place. He's given us the authority, but do we have the ability? I was reading a book and this line came up, and it wasn't even something special, it was just in the middle of this whole chapter. And it said something like, I realized Holy Spirit needs bodies to live in, just like the Savior lived in His on this earth. And I was like, it just really grabbed my attention, just this one line, Holy Spirit needs bodies to live in. And I began meditating on it and praying about it, and it was just like, isn't it amazing how God can just give you just such a revelation and show you things that could take, you know, months or years of study, but He just shows you in a moment, in an instant. That's the Holy Spirit. And I just had this moment where I'm just like on my knees and I was like, Jesus, You died on that cross. You made a way. You've made me holy and righteous before You. And part of the reason was so the Holy Spirit could live inside of me. That's just God of the universe, our Creator, wants to live in us, empowered by Holy Spirit. And He just wants people's lives surrendered to move through. What would happen if we just surrendered it all and said, Holy Spirit, just move through me. I ask for Your power to come and change me so we can be the hands and feet, of Jesus in this world. What would it look like? A few months ago, I read a book. Actually, Marion was praying for me this morning before church. And she goes, I pray for defining moments. I pray for God encounters. And the book I read was called Defining Moments. And it was this book about just all these heroes of the faith, these people, these like mighty men and women of God that have changed the face of the earth for the Lord, like people like Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, Catherine Kuhlman, and then some that are even alive now, like Heidi Baker, and just all these incredible people. And I just started to read about their life and what they've done, and just their hunger for God and the things that they've cried out for. And you realize that these are all just ordinary people. Just one of them was a real estate agent, and then all of a sudden he'd seen 100,000 people come to know Jesus. But I found this common thread. There was like, I don't even know, 15 different people that you read through just their life and what had happened. But there's these two common things. The first one is they were desperate. They were just so desperate for the Lord. So hungry for Him. They just knew there was more. I think it was John G. Lake. He'd already even seen someone raised from the dead. And he's still like, I need a baptism in the Holy Ghost. And they're like, John, you have a beautiful baptism in the Holy Ghost. But he says that I knew that there was more. I knew that there was just more in God. And there was more that He wanted to do through me. And he was just I think he said something like, I knew I was the most desperate man for God on the earth. He just hungered and thirsted for God. And I found that with every single person. And the second thing was a life-changing encounter where Holy Spirit just went, boom, just changed their hearts. Some of them were insane, like Heidi Baker. She was at a conference. She ran down the front while someone was preaching. She couldn't control it. And then they start praying over her and she was, boom, straight on the ground, out for 7 days. Seriously, she was at this conference. She couldn't move. She couldn't move her arms, her legs, just nothing. She couldn't talk. And those 7 days, God just spoke to her, changed her heart, changed her mind, transformed her entire life. She was never the same again. And I was reading this stuff and just revivals that have happened and miracles that have happened, and you just start to get excited. Like, this is not supposed to be condemning in any way. And, you know, we're not supposed to try and get these encounters for us. It's not like Ryan and Michelle and I were talking a little while ago, and Michelle was telling us how the Holy Spirit just touched her, and she just was laughing and laughing with Myra. And me and Ryan are like, oh, we wish that would happen to us. Like, that would be so good if you're just, like, laughing in the Spirit. But it's not about that, because he moves in all different ways. It's not about chasing the experience or chasing the feeling or chasing any of that stuff. It's about him transforming who we are so we can go into all the world and preach the gospel and see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. There's so many lost and broken people. Like, what if every Christian spent time with him and got the Father's heart? Let Holy Spirit come and transform us from the inside out. I had this picture of like a well, and a lot of us in this room would have received the Holy Spirit. It's in us. He's in us. This power. And there's this well, and it's like a lot of us, the well's quite full, but we've got to let the bucket down and get it out. And like every time we see someone, we've got to let the bucket down here. And we can preach the good news, we can see people healed. We've got the Holy Spirit inside of us. But then I'm like, what is it that these people, like, there's a story of Smith Wigglesworth where he's just sitting on a train minding his own business, opens up his Bible, and then it said there was like five people that got really scared. They were just freaked out. They're going, what's going on here? We just feel like convicted of sin or something. And then five people get on their knees and accept Jesus, when all he did, he's just sitting there minding his own business, opened up his Bible, have a little read. But it's like the Holy Spirit was so in him because he was just living in him 24/7 every day, that people just, the presence of God was on him wherever he went. Like, how do we get to that place? I'm so hungry. I'm so desperate for that. And it's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that came on Jesus. The same Holy Spirit that came on Peter. Actually, I've forgot about my notes, but in Acts 5, it talks about how Peter, they would bring out all the sick people and lay them in a line in their beds and on their mats. And as Peter walked past, his shadow, if it went over these sick people, they'd all get healed. Peter. He was just so possessed by the Holy Spirit. But it's the same Holy Spirit that we have. So we're going to get the band to come back. Holy Spirit must live in bodies as the Saviour lived in his on earth. We've deliberately took some chairs out. And I don't know what's going to happen right now. Because no one ever does when the Holy Spirit comes. But we don't have to wait for a conference. Amen. Like, Together Conference was awesome. And one of our African friends was over here. And Holy Spirit hit her. And I was sitting here with Chelsea and Michelle, and the three of us were in a line, and it's like the Holy Spirit went boom on her and went straight through, and all three of us were just in tears speaking in tongues like at the same time. Do you remember? How could you forget? But like, you never know what's going to happen. He moves in incredible ways. And we've made space here because, firstly, if you don't know Jesus today, he's my best friend. He's the savior of my soul. And he wants to be in relationship with you, to come back to that place that you were created for, to walk and talk with your creator, where your life has purpose and meaning. So if you want to ask Jesus to come into your life today, I would love to pray with you. And secondly, if you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, today's the day. This is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. So if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit today, I want you to come straight up the front. There's so much space. Everyone can come. And if you are just hungry, you just want a touch. You want a defining moment, a God encounter. I am the first one up here. I am. If you want that today, I want you to come forward as we sing. And we're just going to worship. We've deliberately saved this for the end because we just want a time of just loving on Jesus and worshiping. You know, the Holy Spirit always points us straight to Jesus. So when we're overflowing with the Holy Spirit, we're just praising him. We're worshiping him. It's like Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, then Jesus points us to the Father. And it's just this incredible relationship. So let's all stand up. We're going to worship. We're going to ask Holy Spirit to come and do whatever he wants to do in this place right now. He's going to move. There's going to be people in here that leave different. You're not going to be the same for the rest of your life. This is exciting. Yeah. Who knows? The whole building might shake. The ground might tremble. There might be fire. I read about this revival, the Azusa Street revival. That was about 100 years ago. But this warehouse, it just went for 3.5 years, every single day, this warehouse. There were people were praising. There was miracles going on. But this fire was coming out the top of the building up into the sky. But it wasn't even fire. Like, they called the fire brigade and they couldn't put it out because it was the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? But like, it's time for us to get hungry. These are, people are saying these are the last days. God's going to pour out his Spirit on all mankind. Let's be the hungry ones. Let's be the ones that are on our knees just crying out. Let's not have any regrets in a few years. So if you want Holy Spirit, come out right now. I'm here. And these guys are just going to lead us in worship. And Holy Spirit, right now, we honor you in this place. We ask right now that you would come and you would have your way. We ask for God encounters. We ask for defining moments. We ask that you would break us. You would wreck us for your glory. We want you. We're hungry. We're desperate. We want to be changed by you so we can change the world for you. Holy Spirit, come in power, I pray. Bring boldness upon us. Bring boldness upon us to preach. Oh, let's worship, let's sing.